That's a really powerful song. Maybe we ought to take a moment and let it sink in. You think about that for a minute. A lot of people want a different life than they're living. A lot of people want to be different than who they are. But today I'm talking about the ripple effect of the Holy Spirit, and that is the God in you becoming who you are. So here's what it comes down to. We can either give into our flesh, we all have this choice every moment, every day, or we can give into the Holy Spirit. You know, it's a choice. And if Jesus Christ is your Savior, what's going to come out, I pray, is the God in you. And so the ripple effect of the Holy Spirit, if you have your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 1, where you see the activity of God at work. I'm excited about being in God's house today and reading His Word. By the way, you will never be filled with the Holy Spirit if you're not reading your Bible. I'm going to tell you why. The Holy Spirit is always in attendance to the reading of God's Word. So read it every day, and I promise you, the God in you will start rising up. The Word of God has power. So let's rise up, church. Let's all stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, and inerrant Word. This is a great message today. Hope you'll take it and just let it really sink in, the ripple effect of the Holy Spirit. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now look what he says, and ye shall be. He didn't say you might. He says, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the infallible Word of God. I thank you that your Word is absolute truth. And I thank you that the Holy Spirit is already here. He's here in attendance to the reading of your Word. May we not quench, may we not grieve, may we not stifle out the work that you're wanting to do in and through us. God, may the spirit man that lives in us rise up and take hold that our flesh will die. Help us to die to self that you might live through us. I pray for your Holy Spirit now to anoint me afresh and anew, to speak through me with clarity, truth, and authority. Thus saith the Lord. I pray for your divine enablement and your holy unction. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, this ripple effect, everything that you do on this earth has a corresponding consequence, whether for good or evil. Everything you do, what we're doing right now in church, are we distracted by someone or something? Are we looking around? Are we giving God our undivided attention? How easy it is that we don't even think about a choice, and yet it affects every one of us. You ever thought about that? I mean, your decision, you might think, well, this is my life and I'll live it my way and I'll do as I please. Really? Did you know, and we'll deal with this, a sin in your life affects everybody. Affects the whole church. In fact, it can very well stifle out the work of God in us. The Bible says a little leaveth the whole lump. And so everything, this is the ripple effect of our lives on people that we come in contact with. Every action we do on this earth has a corresponding reaction, whether for good or for evil. Many people don't really understand it, or they are not aware of it, but that is the truth of life. And so I'm trying to deal with this in this way. What if we understood the ripple effect of God working in us? And what would that look like? Well, let's think about it a minute. So think with me. If I'm giving into my flesh, then I'm be able to do what the flesh can do. But if I'll give into the Spirit, I'll see what God can do. God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Amen. Sometimes Christians look at other Christians and say, boy, I wish I could be as spiritual as they are. But don't you understand you have the same identity that they do? I mean, you know, I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and in that church, people would say, well, that person's more spiritual because they speak in tongues and this one don't. But that's a lie from the enemy. There is no such thing as one spiritual gift above another. In fact, the Bible says spiritual gifts are to edify the body and to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not, and by the way, that is the way the Holy Spirit expresses himself, either through spiritual gifts or fruit. And we'll look at that in just a second. But you have the same identity that any other Christian does. So if they're progressing and you're regressing, it is because they're living in light of who they are and you're not. In my house, I have a toaster. I have a can opener. I have a microwave and I have a refrigerator. They're all different appliances, but they plug in at the same source. They all rely upon electricity. And when I plug the microwave in, the microwave does what microwaving can do. When I plug in the toaster does what toasting can do. And when I plug in the can opener, the other day, Sherry said, I can't get this can open. And I did have to make some adjustments. But it does what the can opener can do. And when I plug in the refrigerator, guess what? It does what the refrigerator can do. And guess what? When you get plugged in, I'll tell you, then God will begin to work in your life. You need to get plugged in. You know, a lot of times, and we use this terminology in church, we want you to get plugged in. And people don't understand, well, what does that mean? You know, do I find my place in ministry? Yes, you do. And when you get plugged in, that's when the Holy Spirit can do it. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully, the next words I'm fixing to say. Folks, we are hindering the work of God in and through us when we're not plugged in. Now, it's not that the Holy Spirit can't work. Oh, the Holy Spirit, He works. He can work. But He's not going to work through you unless you're plugged in. Okay? So you've got to get plugged in. You've got to go where the power is. Okay? Okay, so I go out and I buy me a brand new refrigerator. I'm looking at these refrigerators. I don't know if, number one, it'd be hard to afford one. I mean, these new refrigerators, do you know they got TV on them now? And you can even see on that monitor what's on inside of the inside, not a TV, inside the refrigerator. And it can keep up with your groceries now. It'll tell you what groceries you need. I mean, we got some smart refrigerators now. They've got all these bells and all these whistles. And I heard about this fellow. He bought one of those expensive refrigerators. I mean, we're talking several thousand dollars. I mean, he bought the granddaddy of them all. And he got it home. He got excited about it. Went and bought all new groceries. Put all this new produce, new meat. He got everything new. He said, man, I'm going to be set to go. And he puts it all in the refrigerator. Next morning, he gets up to get something out of the refrigerator, and the milk spoiled. The meat is souring. Everything's going wrong in the refrigerator. The produce looks yellow. He calls the company. He says, listen, I bought this new refrigerator from you. I spent several thousand dollars and I put all new groceries in it and it's not doing its job. And the man on the other end said, well, did you plug it in? And he rolled the refrigerator out and looked and said, oh no, I forgot to plug it in. What good is it if you're not plugged in? What good is it? What good? I mean, you can go to great lengths and do wonderful things. A lot of churches have a lot of good programs and they have a lot of good plans. But if they're not plugged into the Holy Spirit, they're not going to accomplish nothing. Amen. In fact, that's what I define a dead church. And so this area needs to be discussed. It needs to be understood. And I'm afraid a lot of us have taken things out of context. We get so somehow sidetracked with the spectacular. We think, oh, if the Holy Spirit of God would just fill me up and I would have the healing and I would just touch everyone and they would be healed. Oh, if God would just fill me up with this Holy Spirit power, I could be the greatest teacher there ever was. I just need the Holy Spirit. You know what the Holy Spirit's thinking? Just the opposite. The Holy Spirit says, no, I want you. I want to work through you. And the problem is this, is that we're not willing to allow the Holy Spirit to work through our lives. The Holy Spirit says, oh, I can take care of the healing. Sure I can. I can take care of miracles. I'm a miracle God. But here's the thing. Now get this. We're the ones holding him back. You see, the Bible says be filled with the Spirit. That means to be controlled by the Spirit. You don't control the Holy Spirit. He controls you. Understand that? So that's really what the meaning. Look it up. The word in Ephesians where it says be filled. He says be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by the Spirit. And so that's a little introduction. Let's get into the message. Number one, what is the ripple effect? Well, it's a unifying effect. It's a unifying effect. Look at what verse 4 says. The first verse we read there in Acts chapter 1. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Number one, we see this under unifying effect. We see the will of God being accomplished here. And being assembled together, the Holy Spirit has a unifying effect. And in Acts 2:1, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. When Jesus left, he left the Holy Spirit in charge. Are y'all following me? And it's like in the Baptist church, we don't get this. I mean, if Jesus was here now, we would say, oh, we get that. We see Jesus. He's walking on the earth with his disciples. But he said, now I'm going to go with the Father and I'm going to leave with you a comforter. I'm going to leave with you a teacher. He's going to teach you all things that you need to know. But you know what? I'm going to say it like it T.I. is now. We had rather depend on what we know than what the Holy Spirit knows. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit knows a whole lot more than you and I could ever understand. The Holy Spirit understands who God is. And the Holy Spirit wants to do his office work here in this church. But instead, and that's why I was listening to the song that Rita and Ashley were singing. Boy, if we would just let the Holy Spirit do his work in us, we would just start praising God. And guess what? As our praises go up, the blessing of his Spirit comes down. You know what? The God person in us, and if you're saved, he lives in you. He starts rising up. We start praising him. We start lifting up our hands. We're acknowledging him. And by the way, you're talking about healthy living. I thought about Ashley and Rita standing there singing that song. You know what? When you are singing the praises of God, you'll be more healthy. Amen. Yeah. God didn't create you for your glory. He created you for his glory. And I'll say this about the church. When I'm praising him and you're praising him and we all got our eyes on the same one, the head of the body, the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're going to be walking together because we're listening to one head, right? There's not two heads in the church. You say, well, it's Jesus and the pastor. Nope. There's only one head. Anything with two heads is a freak. Okay. Jesus, he's the only head of the church. I'm not the head of the church. I'm an under shepherd. He's the real shepherd. Jesus is the real deal. Are y'all following me? So if you're here today and your motive, listen carefully, you're here because of Jesus Christ, then guess what? You're here for the right reason. And the Holy Spirit's going to fill you. But if you came just to hear me preach, you're going to be disappointed. But if you'll listen to the Holy Spirit, you'll get something out of this message today. Amen? Amen. I didn't come to hear me preach, and I'm the preacher. I've come to hear Jesus. How about you? And so let's get into it. The will of God is that you and I be united. The church is not to be run on programs and plans, but on the Holy Spirit. No plan of mine or no plan of yours will work, but God, the Holy Spirit's plan will work every time. We must become unified behind the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, it is not by my power. He says, it is not by power or might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Are y'all with me? In other words, it's not what I can do. It's not what you can do. It's not by any power that we have. And that's the problem in the church. We're trying to operate in our strength and in our power. And guess what I've heard all my life? Well, I'm just burned out, preacher. Well, no wonder you did it in your strength. You can't burn out the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't exhaust the power of God. It is the will of God that you and I operate under the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit and I'm filled with the Spirit, there's going to be a unifying effect. There's going to be a working together. Just like when that little pebble hits that water and it causes that ripple effect. Notice that the ripple effect, it's all those circles are working together. No circles on top of another, they actually affect one another. And when I'm doing the will of God and you're doing the will of God, guess what? It's going to bless everybody. Amen? God's will is perfect and right. He don't make mistakes. But also an important word I got to give you that these folks did, and I'm just following scripture here, they were waiting on God. Look at verse 46. And commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. It is far better to wait on the will of God than to listen to the will of man. And boy, how easy it is to listen to the will of man. Well, so-and-so is doing it, I'm going to do it. That's wrong. You know, you best wait on God. Well, I'm going to go because so-and-so went. It's like the blind leading the blind. You don't want to follow some man. That's why I'm trying to point you to Jesus, okay? He'll never lead you wrong. Hello? And so if you're doing the will of God and you're waiting on God, then some great things are going to happen. You know, the Bible says the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that is saved. And what happens when you and I are in and we're letting the Holy Spirit work through us as a church and we're in the will of God and we're waiting on God, the Holy Spirit flows through us like a mighty river, like a channel. And if there's a lost person in here today, they can feel the power of the Holy Spirit convicting their heart. But you know why I'm going to say it like it is. You know why a lot of people don't get saved in churches? Because we're quenching the Holy Spirit. Yeah. I'm saying we, the believers. Yeah. We're holding back. Look up here. Why are you holding back? Why would you want to hold back? You say, well, preacher, I went to a hockey game last night. Can you believe that? I went to a hockey game on base. And you know, when I go to a sports event, no one holds anything back. Woo! Yeah, go! Hit! Do! I want to see a fight. And sure enough, bam, 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 they got into a fight on Fort Bragg. Can you imagine that? You know, this was a private event. I'm not even a soldier. I'm not even a private, and I got to go. But anyway, here's the thing about it. We get all excited. Now, I'm going to say it like it is. For what our flesh desires. Oh, yeah. I don't want to upset you, and I don't want you to get mad at me. But that has spilled over even into the church. Because we want the kind of music the flesh longs for. Now, I've searched my heart, so let me just point all fingers back to me. It might be best for us to wait on God. Because many times we get in the flesh when it comes to worship. I want a song with a beat. Why do you want a song with a beat? I like rapping over those old hymns we sung today. I want to challenge you to do something. Search your heart. I like contemporary music. Now, Sherry, she's not like I am, but I like something with a beat. I like the contemporary music. But I'm examining my heart, and I'm asking myself this question. Is it because it feeds my flesh, or does it feed the Spirit of God in me? I'm not judging you. I'm pointing all fingers back to me. I'm going down the road these days asking myself these questions. God, am I in your will? Am I waiting on you? Or am I trying to do what makes my flesh feel good? Are y'all following me? It's easy to do what the flesh wants, even in worship. Well, if we could just get us a rapper for a preacher instead of that old timey preacher we've got, if we could get up somebody to say, for God, so love the Lord, the world that he gave, his only begotten son, whosoever believe in him, hey, not perish, but have everlasting life. I wouldn't make a good rapper. I wouldn't. But I don't believe God blesses that kind of junk. I mean, you know, I've never heard of a rapping preacher, have y'all? No, just now, yeah. But what if you had a preacher that was full of the Holy Ghost? What if you had a singer full of, maybe they didn't get up here and sing our style of music, but they were filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Would that make a difference in our churches? Oh, yeah. Are y'all following me? I hope I'm not losing you here, because I'm telling you, we want to do what we want to do instead of waiting on God. And then we wonder, why are we so divided? And you know what? You know, Satan has got into this thing bigger than you realize. I've been in church all my life, so I guess I can say this. I don't know anything that has divided the churches more than different different styles of worship. Well, I don't want to go to that church because I don't like the music. It shouldn't be what we do in worship to divide us. It ought to unify us. Amen. And if we're all listening to the Holy Spirit and we're full of the Holy Spirit, we'll wait on God for God to show us, because only God knows how he ought to be worshiped. I'm afraid the truth of the matter is many times we're worshiping what we want to worship. We worship our flesh. It feels good to me. I want it done my way. I want a Burger King religion. Hold the lettuce, hold the tomato, hold the mayonnaise. I just want mustard on my hamburger or whatever. Waiting on God is simply, it's never a waste of time. It's simply saying, I'm depending on you, Lord. And what if we depended on God and not on our own flesh? It would have a unifying effect. And then third of all, there is the word of God. Notice what he says in the last part of verse 4. For the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. The reason our churches are not unified today is that we're not even in the Word of God. And I want to strongly encourage you today, read God's Word every day. You wouldn't go a day without eating, would you? No, because your flesh, here's a good example, your flesh would get hungry. But what about the God in you? He's starving to death because you're not reading your Bible. And if you're not reading your Bible, I'm just going to tell you, there's sin in your life. Yeah. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is a sin. We need God's Word. It's spiritual food. And I'm going to tell you something. This is not just your normal book. This is the living Word of God. It will transform your life. It really will. I challenge you, and I challenge you again. Read the Word of God. It will change you, I promise you, on the authority of this book. God's Word will unite the people of God. I'd far rather be standing on the promises of God than just sitting on the sidelines of the Word of God. So many people are just, if all you get is Sunday morning, you're sunk. And some of you didn't even come to Sunday school. So some people, the only time they hear God's Word is on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. I hope and pray that's not true in your life. Here's what the Bible says. We're seeing God work in the life of those who are in His Word daily. The Bible says in John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all things and all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. In other words, friend, let me tell you something. All you need, and we're trying to make this, all you need is to open up your Bible and the Holy Spirit of God to show up as you start reading, and he'll teach you all things. That's what he says. He will teach. So are we depending, there again, are we spoiled to death in the church and in the, I mean, think about it, that we rely on our Sunday school teacher, and we rely on our preacher. Folks, if you're not digging in this yourself, how are you going to grow in the Lord? Hello? How are you going to experience God? And I'll tell you this, are you serious? Do you want to see the Spirit of God take control of your life? The flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing. The Spirit's willing. God wants you to grow in His Word. And when you read this book, it'll come alive and you'll begin to understand. I've heard so many people say, well, I don't understand the Bible. Look up here. There are times that I'm studying for a sermon. This really happens. And I'm saying, God, I'm just not getting this. And I'll go around on the front of my desk, and I'll just lay down in front of my desk, and I'll just stay there and say, God, if you don't speak to me, I'm not going to get this. Now, it'd be so easy to go in over there on the shelf somewhere and find a commentary, find something that another man says, or I can get on my face and say, now, God, what are you saying? And by the way, when God teaches you, he teaches it right. Hello? Another man can teach you wrong, but God will never teach you wrong. Get in the Word of God. It'll bring life. The Bible says this book, the Word of God, it will keep you. I'll tell you, it'll keep you secure. It'll keep you safe. And thy word have I hid in my heart, the psalmist said, that I may not sin against God. And then second of all, we're talking about a unifying effect, an unquenchable effect. Look at verse 5, an unquenchable effect. For John truly baptized you with water, But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. You might find this interesting. Search your Bible. Yeah, John baptized with water. Ronnie baptizes with water. Are y'all listening to me? Done a lot of baptisms. But Jesus never baptized anyone with water. He baptized them with fire. That's what the Bible says, the Holy Ghost. That's how do you receive the Holy Spirit? You receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. You can't separate the Trinity. There's God the Father, there's God the Son, there's God the Holy Spirit. To separate them makes them a separate God, and there's only one God. There's only one God. So let's talk about that fire for a moment. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Matthew 3:11 says, I baptize you. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. And this is John. He shall baptize you, talking about Jesus, with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge the floor and gather his wheat into the gardener, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Folks, it's a very dangerous thing for us to quench the Holy Spirit. I got this next slide I want to show you that I thought, I don't know, I just meditated on this. I meditated on it. When you stifle the Holy Spirit, you slip into sin and you spoil the community. What does that mean? Here's the way I interpret that. When I'm not obedient to the Holy Spirit, and I'm challenged just as much as you are sometimes in witnessing. Okay, so I'm not willing to tell someone about Jesus. And here's how it's so easy to stifle that work. Well, that's just not my thing. No, it's not your thing, but it's God's thing. Now, listen to me carefully what I want to say about this. Talking about some fire, and this will fire up our church. Listen to this. When I'm obedient to the Holy Spirit does all the witnessing. I don't have to do anything. It's almost like putting your car on cruise. Don't you like to set the cruise button? I do. It keeps me from getting a ticket. So I'll just set it on cruise and I'm sort of relaxed, don't have to really focus on mashing the gas or anything. Just got it on cruise. Let me tell you something. When you are willing to let the Holy Spirit work through you, it's like you put your life on cruise and the Holy Spirit does the rest. The Bible says he will speak the words that need to be spoken in that hour. That's what he says. He said, well, preacher, and I've heard every excuse you can hear. I'm getting ahead of myself somewhat, but I want to talk about this holy fire. All of a sudden, you're saying things that you've never thought of. You're speaking words into another person's life that needs Jesus. You are being a fantastic witness, but it's not you. It's the Holy Spirit through you. You say, well, what about the fire of God? That's what I'm talking about, that energy. And by the way, you never have to advertise a fire to get a crowd. Everybody will want to be a part of that. People will want to see, well, how in the world, what is God doing in you and in your church? But when we stifle the Holy Spirit, we are the ones that slip into sin and we spoil. If you look that word spoil up, it means we dampen, we diminish the community. Our director of mission says this. I've not gone to the trouble to look it up. I should have. But within a 5-mile radius of Gourd Springs Baptist Church, he says, there are 53,000 people. And look at the empty pews in this church this morning. It should be filled with people. You know why? Ronnie Stewart, I'll just point all fingers back to me. If just one of us would let the Holy Spirit work through him, and the Holy Spirit would do all the witnessing, you know what? You're looking at a man that's had every kind of training, even went this week for every believer or witness, planned to do that in January. I've had LES, I've had Evangelism Explosion, I've had CWT, Continue Witness and Training. I've taught them and certified to teach one-day soul winning classes. None of that is worth the time of the day if you don't have the Holy Spirit. You can have all the training that you can get. So it's not all about training. Are you listening to me? It's allowing the Holy Spirit, he can speak through anyone. God spoke through a mule one time. Can you imagine what God can do through you as a human being? I mean, God can use anyone who says, hey, I'm your child. Now, God, here I am. Send me. And God says, all right, Ronnie Stewart, I'm going to anoint you, and I'm going to speak through you, and I'll give the words that need to be said in that hour. Talking about witnessing, that's the fire of God. God leads his people, the children of Israel. What did the Bible say? He led them by cloud by day, but he led them by fire at night. Church, we're living in dark days. Let's get on fire. The fire of God will lead us. Acts 1:14, these all continued with one accord, and they had some fired up prayer meetings. They were all in one accord. No division was seen. Just unity of the Spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit. And he says, I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I. I'm read again, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Jesus said, I've left the Holy Ghost here on this earth to operate through my church. But it's like we've got our heads up in the air, sort of like these disciples. This is the last words of Jesus, Acts 1:8. Verse 9, 10, 11, the angel says, why are you gazing up into heaven? Well, we ain't never seen nothing like that before, a man just taking up into heaven. He said, get your eyes off of what's in the past. He's gone. Get your eyes on the present. I'm sending my Holy Spirit. That's what's happening here in Acts. And the Holy Spirit of God came down. It was fire, and then it was fresh. Fresh. Say that word with me. Fresh. We need a fresh touch of God. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, when is the time that you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel? You know what Jesus said? It's really none of your business. He said, you know what? I want to do something fresh in you. Isaiah 43:19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The church needs a fresh touch. And that touch is the Holy Spirit. That's what happened. That's the way the church was birthed. That's how it all began. We must have I believe, something that only God can give us. And that's a fresh vision and a fresh desire to serve him like never before. We need a kingdom mentality. And let me just share this with you, because this is very important. And I'm going to wrap this up. Folks, when you and I get a kingdom mentality, and I got to define that. That means where God is allowed to rule and to reign. We must understand that our calling is to build his kingdom, not to build our church. Now follow me. He said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Our job is to build the kingdom. So what does the kingdom work look like? Well, the kingdom work is all about what's happening outside the doors of this church. You see, the kingdom work is when we go out and we fulfill the Great Commission. We're doing what God has called us to do. During the earthly lifetime, Jesus taught his disciples. And then after his resurrection, this is a great point, the risen Christ taught the disciples about the kingdom of God for 40 days before he ascended back to the Father. What a Bible conference that must have been. Why? Because Jesus was saying, this is how I'm going to do my work through you, my church. You want the blessing and favor of God, then do ministry my way. And the way that Jesus designed ministry to be done is by the power of his Holy Spirit with people who have a kingdom mentality. They're not focused on within, they're focused on without. The thing we're doing right now with these other churches, that's a kingdom mentality, that five churches could come together over here in the Family Life Center and worship God together. That speaks of a kingdom work. It's not about Gorge Springs. It's not about Lakes Church. It's not about Point Church. It's not about Anderson Creek Community Church. It's not. Notice that night, I refused. I didn't say any name of a church. I told everyone that came that night that we've come in one name, the name of Jesus. Amen. And that's why we're here today. Amen, church. If you're not excited, maybe it's because you're not operating in that name. If you start operating in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit's going to fill your cup. I'm telling you. He's going to fill you up because that's the kingdom of God. May his kingdom come. May his will be done. And then the third word is favor here. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time of the season, which the Father had put in my own authority, my power. Jesus is essentially saying to his disciples, this is my business. This is the way, you know what? This is the way I want to do my work. So Keith, the third word is favor. God wants to God wants to show us His favor. He wants to bless His work. He wants to use you as a church, but He's not going to do it as long as we're trying to operate in our flesh. How are we going to get God's favor? Notice what the Bible says. Peter, it says in Acts 2:37, he was preaching the sermon on the day of Pentecost. He says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said unto them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin, and ye shall receive the Spirit. For the promise is not unto you, for the promise is not unto you and to your children, but to all that are far off.'" We're the ones afar off. "Even as many as the Lord our God shall call." This is the same man who denied our Lord three different times. He was a coward, and he said he didn't know the man Jesus Christ. What changed? Well, the power of the transformation was the power of the Holy Spirit in him. Peter got up and preached with God's favor on his life. He preached God's word with authority. How could he do that? The Holy Spirit. And that's the unquenchable effect. The fire, the Holy Ghost of God, the fresh touch, the anointing of God, the Bible calls it the unction, and then the favor of God. Then last, an urgent, uttermost effect. I worded it like that. I want you to understand the urgency of this. Notice he says, last of all, "But ye shall receive power after that." And he didn't say you might. He says, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And shall," didn't say might, "ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and to the earth." Let's talk about that power, because it's working power. He says, "But ye shall receive power." Friend, I see so many Christians operating. I mean, like, they just can't hardly make it. They have no energy. They have no excitement. They have no zeal. Well, I'm going to tell you, when you see the uttermost work of the Holy Spirit working in your life, and this is urgent, because I'm telling you, our Lord is soon to be coming back, and we need to understand the Holy Spirit today. We're treating Him like He's not God. We're treating Him like He's an errand boy. Think about it. We go to God and the Holy Spirit, and we say, "Well, you know what? If I could just see some manifestations of the Spirit, healings and miracles and tongues, if I could just see some manifestation, then I would know that's God at work." That's dangerous kind of thinking. If that means that the Holy Spirit can only work when there's healing, certainly He can handle that. If He only works when there's tongues, He can handle that. But John 14:12 says it this way, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father." I'm going to send my power to you. I'm going to send my strength. Jesus said, "I didn't do anything of myself. I only spoke as the Father gave me the word. I only did miracles as the Father gave me power." And now He's saying, "I'm going to give you that power." And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. What's dangerous about it is that we get caught up in the spectacular, thinking that, oh, there's got to be a manifestation of the Spirit. You want the manifestation in your life? Listen, let God speak through you. That's a manifestation. Let Him speak through you. He will. He will give you the power. He'll give you the words that you need to say. Here's the purpose. And I got to give you this before we leave. It's witnessing power. He says, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me." So let's talk about the ripple effect before we leave here today. Think about the ripple effect of just being obedient to God, of just being a simple person, one person. Let me tell you a true story. The man's name was Edward Kimball. Edward Kimball. I doubt anybody knows who Edward Kimball is. Probably never heard of him. Rest assured, most people haven't. Kimball was a Sunday school teacher who not only prayed for the hyper boys in his class, but also sought to win each one to the Lord personally. He decided that he would be intentional with every single boy in his class. Sure. He thought about throwing in the towel at times. And if you've ever taught the Bible to young boys, you know that that experience can often be like herding cats. One young man in particular didn't seem to understand what the gospel is all about. So Kimball went to the shoe store where he was stocking shelves, and confronting him in the stock room, true story, with the importance of him knowing Jesus as personal Savior. That young man was D.L. Moody. And in the stock room on that Saturday afternoon, Edward Kimball led D.L. Moody to the Lord. In his lifetime, Moody touched two continents for God, with thousands professing Christ through his ministry. But the story doesn't end there. It actually starts there. Under Moody, another man was touched for God, Wilburn Chapman. Chapman became the evangelist who preached to thousands. One day, a professional ball player had a day off and attended one of Chapman's meetings. And thus, Billy Sunday was converted. Sunday quit baseball and became part of Chapman's team. Then Chapman accepted the pastorate of a large church, and Billy Sunday began his evangelistic crusades. Another young man was converted whose name was Mordecai Ham. He was a scholarly, dignified gentleman who wasn't about renting a hearse and parading it through the streets advertising the crusades. But when Ham came to Charlotte, North Carolina, a sandy-haired, lanky young man, then in high school, vowed that he would never go to hear that man preach. His name was Billy Frank, and he was called by his family, as he was called by his family. Ham announced that he knew for a fact that a house of ill repute was located across the street from the local high school, and that young boys were skipping lunch to visit the house across the street. When students decided to go to interrupt the meeting of Mordecai Ham, Billy Frank decided to go see what would happen. That night, Billy Frank went and was intrigued by what he heard. Returning another night, he responded to the invitation and was converted. Billy Frank eventually became known as Billy Graham, the evangelist who preached to more people than any person who ever lived, including the Apostle Paul and Jesus Christ. Billy Graham has preached to more people than any man who ever lived on this earth. And it started with one man's witness. So don't ever underestimate. You might think, well, I've just got some wild boys in a class, but what God can do with that wild boy, what God can do with that girl, that, and maybe that's where you are today, and I'm closing this up because I guarantee you there's someone here today and you've got a burden for a son or a daughter, but don't you ever give up, because I'm going to tell you what you can do today, and I've witnessed this personally. You're talking about a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. There was a man in my first church. I was pastor at 19. He would walk the aisle. He knelt right here every Sunday. His name was Simon Stevenson, and Simon came and knelt at the altar every Sunday, and I'd been a pastor there for about a year, and I asked Simon one day, "Simon, I don't mean to pry, but why do you come to the altar every single Sunday?" He said, "Ronnie, I have a lost son, and my son, I'm claiming for Jesus one day, is going to kneel in the same place one day and be saved." I was there all the way through college, and Simon Stevenson witnessed his son coming to Christ one Sunday. I'm telling you something, friend. Don't you ever give up. Look up here, because the Holy Spirit don't ever give up. He keeps knocking at the door of that heart. He keeps drawing people. What is the purpose? What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? I want to say it again. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? For miracles? No. For healing? No. For teaching? That's not the primary purpose. The primary purpose of the Holy Spirit is to make you a witness. Yeah, that's what he said right here. That's Acts 1:8. These are the last words that Jesus said to his disciples. And he made it extra clear. "And ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you." That's his purpose. "And ye shall be witnesses unto me." Not that he just came upon them, but to make them witnesses. And then there came the promise. Both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. The Great Commission ends by saying, "And I will be with you always." Church, let's start standing on the promises and not sitting on the premises. God will bless a church that's going to reach a lost and dying world. And the world's dying and going to hell. And we've got the promise that God will give us the words to say in that hour. We have the promise of the Word of God. Folks, I know there are many of you sitting here today. You're thinking, "Preacher, you're not preaching to me." But listen to me carefully. If you will obey this book right here and simply make yourself a mouthpiece for God and witness for Him, God will give you the words to say in that hour. He will use you, and you will be filled with His Spirit. God will fill the man that will depend upon Him for that filling. But why would God give you His power if you're not going to use it? Why would He? Why would He waste His time and energy on you if you're just going to be a pew warmer? Hello? I'm going to stand on the promise. I was a shy young boy when I got saved. You know what the most I ever said in church? I never spoke. I never spoke to anyone in church. I was very shy. You say, preacher, you're lying to us. I'm telling you the truth. I was a shy teenager and would never speak a word to nobody. But when Jesus saved me and he filled me with the Holy Spirit, I can't keep my mouth shut. I got to tell everybody, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And I'll tell you, every time I tell someone about Jesus, I feel the Holy Spirit. Amen. He will speak through you. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, try it. Try it this week. You say, well, preacher, what will happen to our church? Our church will come back on fire for God. Because then you'll see people walking this aisle every Sunday getting saved. Would y'all like to see that?
Amen.
Well, preacher, that's what we hired you for. No. This message is for the church. I'm one of you. And guess what? I'm going to do my part. I'm going to be out there witnessing this week. We are spoiling our community and letting them go to hell. And we are stifling the Holy Spirit right here in this church if we're not witnesses. I heard some mmms. I hear no amens. But we're hindering God's work. I don't want to hinder the Holy Spirit, do you? So just let God. You say, well, preacher, what will happen? Look up here, and I'm done. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman, and he'll never make you look like an idiot. He'll give you the word to say in that hour. Let him speak through you today. We're going to give our invitation now. I'm going to ask every head to be bowed, every eyes closed. This is the most important time of this service. Father, I know that this sermon may not be the sermon that people wanted to hear today, but I know it's the sermon you've put on my heart that we as a church be a Spirit-filled church. It's so easy to be filled with ourselves. It's so easy to be filled with the flesh. It comes natural. But we need the supernatural work of God here today that only you can do. There are people who need the Lord, and you've called us to be your vessel. You called us to be an instrument. You didn't say we had to depend on ourselves. You said that you would give us the words to say in that hour. We don't have to do it. We don't have to really go for all the training. Training's good. I think you bless preparation, but the fact is, you will give us the words to say to that person who needs Jesus. And there are people, Lord, that other people know that I don't know. So I'll never be a witness to that person. But there are people here that can be a witness. So God, help us today to understand the ripple effect. And the ripple effect as of this invitation today is that many lives could be changed. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Lives were transformed. And from 12 disciples to 120 in an upper room to 3,000 being saved to 5,000 being saved. And here we are today, all because of the ripple effect of the Holy Spirit. You've been working all these years, and I pray that you'll do a work here today. I pray that every one of us will make a commitment to the Word of God today, and that we're going to read our Bibles every day. I pray that we'll simply make that commitment. And I believe the Holy Spirit will start filling us, because the Holy Spirit's always in attendance to the reading of your Word. God, may this invitation be something only you can do. If there's a person who does not know you and pardon and forgiveness of sin, I'm going to ask that the Holy Spirit do his office work here today, and that's drawing people to you, God. That the Holy Spirit would be working here right now. May we as a church right now, this very second, be obedient. As we stand to sing, may your Holy Spirit fill us. May we be your church, empowered by your power. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.